Find your place in 2 Timothy chapter 1 again tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I announced Sunday morning I wasn't sure when the Lord would lay on my heart to finish this stronghold of fear. Just being afraid. You know, everybody here, more than likely, I don't want to lump everybody in together, but more than likely, everybody here is afraid of something. Whether it be somebody or something happening to you, or the uncertainties of life, or the future, not knowing what, you know, what's going to happen, what's going to take place, the direction of our country. I mean, you name it, there's all kinds of fears, all kinds of them. And I've already preached two messages on this, on the stronghold of fear. Tonight, I'm gonna give you the answer to it and asking God to speak to us in a clear way. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. By the way, it is a privilege to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was sitting up here thinking right before I got up in this pulpit here tonight, what an honor to spend my life studying this book and telling other people what God has said. What an honor, what a privilege, what a responsibility. I'm going to stand before God for the truths that I preach out of this book. And if I ever belittle it, if I ever try to change it, I will stand judgment for that. And I want you to know, I don't take that for granted. I want to be a preacher of the Word of God. And I want to give you what God has said. And tonight, He speaks clearly about the answer to our fears. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Word of God says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Which means if we have it, it's coming from somewhere else. Whether it be us or the devil, but it's not coming from God. Let's pray, and I give you part three to this message on the stronghold of fear. Father, we love you. Bless now. Please forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of this will be repeat. Fear has been defined as anxiety caused by real or possible danger, real or possible pain. It's been known as to be frightful, to be afraid, to expect with misgiving. In other words, you expect something bad to happen. It's been reported that a lady who's a syndicated advice columnist was at one time receiving 10,000 letters a month from people with all kinds of problems. And someone asked her if there was one common denominator among all her correspondents. And she said that the great overriding theme of all the letters that she read was fear. Fear of nearly everything imaginable, until the problem became for countless readers a fear of life itself. I've told you in the past two sermons about all the different kinds of fear. Fear of drafts, fear of the color purple, fear of hairy people, fear of the objects on the left side of the body, the right side of the body, the fear of the dark, fear of being closed in. I mean, you name it, there's a fear almost for everything. Fear of water, fear of heights, you name it. People are afraid of a number of things. And tonight, it's a real stronghold that many people deal with. Just being afraid. I'm talking about a stronghold that you don't choose for yourself. Who likes to be afraid? Nobody likes to be afraid. Nobody likes to live in fear. But if you're not careful, you can deal with this stronghold in your life to where it can get a grasp on you and you don't know what to do with it. Now, whether your fear is real or imagined, there are real fears, there are imagined fears. Things that could happen and things that never can happen, if you understand. One preacher said this landmine of fear is a powerful weapon. It has the ability to prevent us from experiencing the blessings of God. This landmine of fear takes this concept to an entirely deeper level. It can paralyze us to such a degree that we lose our godly perspective concerning our circumstances. It clouds our vision for the future and leaves us struggling with nothing but doubt. When our lives are shrouded in fear, we cannot imagine the goodness that God has for us. We struggle with fear because we allow our imaginations to go places that God never intended for us to visit. And in this message, what I've been doing, this is all introduction, a lot of it repeat, I've showed you six Bible stories. We've already done this in sermon number one on this. You can go back and get it a couple of weeks ago. We're bringing out six Bible stories. The report of the spies sent to the promised land and how they were fearful to go in because of the giants. the Israelites facing Goliath before David ever came to confront the giant. The Israelites were afraid of him and refused to go battle with him. David fleeing and departing to Gath, leaving the will of God for his life and going to the enemy's land, all because he was afraid of King Saul. The building of Nehemiah's wall, even though Nehemiah did not stop building the wall, we see that Sanballat and Tobiah tried to get him afraid and tried to scare the people so they would stop building in the will of God. We saw Peter walking on the water and how he was literally walking on the water until he saw the wind boisterous, and he took his eyes off of the Lord who he was walking to, and he saw the wind boisterous and saw the circumstances. And the Bible says he got afraid and he began to sink. We looked at the Bible story of the unexpected storm, how Jesus told the disciples to get on board the ship because that ship is going to the other side. They had his word. They should have rested in his word. They should have known that they were going to make it to the other side. But when they got in the middle of, I'm talking about the middle of the sea there, there was an unexpected storm that hit that boat. They weren't expecting a storm that day. And it hit them to the point where the Bible says it was beating up against that ship. That means it was beating the daylights out of it. It goes on to say that the ship was now full. That means it couldn't take anymore. And the Bible says the ship was covered. That means even though it couldn't take anymore and the waves are beating up against it, everywhere they looked, all they saw was water. That's how unexpected storms hit your life. In other words, you're in the sea of life. Jesus has told you this, said everything's going to be okay until I get you to the other side. But then an unexpected storm hits your life. It could be a physical problem. It could be a financial problem. It could be a marital problem. I don't know what it is, but unexpected storms hit. And if you're not careful, you'll do what the disciples did. They got afraid. The reason I know that is they went to Jesus, who was asleep on that ship, and they woke him up and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And the Bible says Jesus got up and he calmed the storm and he spoke to the sea and he said, "Peace be still," and there was a great calm. And then he turned to them and said, "Why are ye so fearful?" Why are you afraid? I've taken these six Bible stories and we've given you lessons drawn out of those stories. Then I'm going to give you the answer. Let me go back and tap these on the head. We learn from these six stories what fear does. Or at least what it tries to do. First of all, we looked at it disobeys God's command. Secondly, we looked at it disregards God's presence. God was on board that ship. Jesus was standing on the sea that Peter was walking on, but they disregarded his presence. They forgot that he was with them, and they disregarded that. That's what fear does. Fear not only disregards his presence, but denies his word. God has said, "Don't fear, I'm with you, I'll take care of you. You have nothing to be afraid of," and yet fear denies the word of God. Fourthly, fear declines God's best. It kept the Israelites out of the promised land for 40 years. Fear detains God's people, the Israelites, with Goliath. As long as nobody went down into that valley and confronted that giant, they were already in bondage. They were detained. They were God's people, but they were brought in bondage to him because they refused to confront him and take him out. And then finally, we looked at fear doubts God's care. That the opposite of fear is what? What's the opposite of fear? Love. It's not courage. The opposite of fear is love. The love of God. Loving God because he first loved you. Because when you see that God really loves you, God loves you. Let it sink in. When God loves you, it alleviates fears. It lets you know that your daddy's got everything under control. Now, even though we know fear does all of that, we still struggle with it, don't we? So what are you going to do about it? Now, let me remind you that all these strongholds really have the same answer. It's just looking at it in a different way. You cannot have victory over a stronghold without the Word of God, without the God of the Word. Amen. But let me give you an outline here that I trust will help you. Because I remind you that fear is an attack on God. It disobeys his command, remember. It disregards his presence. It denies his word. It declines his best. It detains his people. It doubts his care. It is an attack on God. So guess who the answer to fear is. It's God. There's an outline in the Bible talking about being fearful, being afraid. When you look those words up, afraid, fearful, all these kind of fears, God gave me an outline straight from Scripture. And every one of them deals with the Lord. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Flip to Psalm 34, verse 4. Here's number one tonight. What is the answer to fear? How do you battle fear? By the way, if this is your stronghold tonight, I've got bad news for you. You are probably going to be battling it until the Lord calls you home. It's called flesh. It's called weaknesses. And I'm saying to you that what I'm giving you tonight is not a one-time thing and it's over with and you'll never deal with it again. What I'm giving you tonight is a daily thing. And many times throughout the day sometimes. Everybody understand what I just said? I'm not saying, okay, do these six things, you'll never struggle with fear again. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying as you're walking with God, as you're drawing strength from Him, your daily walk with God, when that fear hits your life, you know it's not of God, you know it's not right. How do you combat it? Let me give you this outline. Number one, seek the Lord. We see this in Psalm 34, verse 4. Read it. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. Notice this. And delivered me from all my what? Fears. There it is. Now, one preacher said it this way. After you spend time with your Creator, you're simply incapable of shrinking in fear at the appearance of every human anxiety. Spurgeon put it this way. This shall be our experience if we put the Lord to the same test. Why then do we indulge our fears when prayer is a sure remedy for them? Have we any troubles at this time? Let us tell them all to our Heavenly Father. The reason we know this is prayer he's talking about here, where he says, I sought the Lord. He says, and He what? He heard me. This means he was calling out to God. He was seeking God with all of his heart. With his language, he was praying. And God heard his prayer. Delivered him from his fears. May I tell you one thing that will help alleviate your fears is when they hit you, fall flat on your face and beg God to deliver you from them. I'm telling you that there are fears that hit people all the time. All the time. My wife wrote a song, maybe you've heard it, on this new CD called He Never Let Me Fall. He Never Let Me Fall. And it goes on to say, further than my knees. I'm not going to steal her thunder here because I'd like for at least the ladies to hear her testimony through this. But God gave her that song, and she's watching tonight. Our baby girl, Joy, has a temperature. I think it's just she's teething, but we don't want to bring her to church with the temperature. So she's supposed to be watching. So I'm sure she's taking notes, making sure that I don't. No, I'm just kidding. It was during the time when I went to India. If you remember me talking to you when I got back about that major struggle that I had in my own heart and life, how the devil tried to stop me from going, and God spoke to my wife and I at the same moment, the same service, and said, we want you to go. And we were scared. We were fearful because we thought that I may not be coming back because of the persecution that was taking place. Really not even all that close, but the devil was just having a heyday and basically in my mind. God gave me victory by giving me Scripture. God gave me peace. But I did not realize until about a month ago now, this is several years that I took the trip, but about a month or 6 weeks ago, it may have been a couple of months, my wife gave me a letter and shared with me her personal testimony when I was overseas. And I read that letter, and I didn't realize how the devil was absolutely attacking my wife terribly while I was in India. Terribly. Make a long story short, she thought God had let her down. She started doubting the Lord. Don't look at me like you've never been there, friends. I've been there myself. Amen. She started doubting the Lord, questioning the Lord. And God came down that night in our home. I was across the seas, thousands of miles away, as she was afraid, she was scared, she was fearful, and she thought that the Lord had dropped her. She thought the Lord had let her down and all of this. And yet through all of that, God came down lovingly to her and began to speak to her heart and began to calm her fears. And through that, God gave her a song. He never let me fall further than my knees. And through that, she was praying. She was seeking God. Even in her doubts, she sought the Lord. Even when her faith wasn't strong. If you have that CD, it's song number 2. Go listen to it tonight and let it speak to you a little bit more now that you know a little bit of the story. She'll give you more details on this later, God willing. I want her to tell it to you. Number 1, it shows you that she's a human being. Number 2, it shows you that she knew where to go even when she was doubting. She went to God. And she sought him through tears. She was struggling. She was fearful. She was afraid for her husband's life. But she sought God, and God delivered her from those fears. I'm telling you, you will struggle. You will have times when you know this is not right. But during those times is when you need to hit your knees and beg God to help you. You know what I've learned about the Lord? Even when my faith is weak, as she puts it, even when my faith is gone, his strength endured. God taught her a great lesson through that. And he taught her that he will never let his children fall any further than their knees. And through that, she's learned so much about God. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that when she was doubting, the Lord didn't kick her to the side. I'm glad that when I've doubted, the Lord didn't kick me to the side. I'm glad that when my heart is broken and I don't know which way to turn. I'm glad when I'm burdened down and I don't know which way to look. And sometimes I doubt and sometimes I fear and sometimes I get afraid and sometimes I may even question. Can I just get real with you a minute here? I'm glad I know who to go to. And when I hit my knees or I'm out walking around begging God, God always just comes down, gives me exactly what I need. Calms my fears, builds my faith, encourages me even when I don't deserve it. Seek the Lord. Number 2, trust the Lord. Look at Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. You're there in Psalms. Look at Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. What time I am afraid, there's the word now, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Psalm 31, 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Let me read it again. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Look up that word hope. You know what it means? It means trust. All ye that trust in the Lord, be of good courage. And he will give you strength. Believe what the Lord has said in his word. God's word can be trusted even when you feel it can't be. So one of the greatest things you can do in a time when you're afraid is go to the word of God and let God speak to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Trust the Lord. Seek the Lord. Number 3, remember the Lord. Look at Nehemiah, if you'll flip to it, because I want you to see these verses. Flip to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. This is the story of Nehemiah where they're building the walls, the broken down walls, if you remember. And remember, Sanballat and Tobiah and others are trying to get them afraid. They're trying to make them scared. They're trying to do all of this so they will stop the work of God. They don't like the work of God going forward. So they're using the tactic of fear to try to stop them. We know this because of what Nehemiah says here in Nehemiah 4, 14. Listen to this. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, notice this now, be not ye afraid of them. Now, pause here just a moment. This is while they are coming to do battle. This is when they know they are under attack. This is not when life is a bed of roses. This is, in other words, Nehemiah is not telling them this when everything is smooth and there's no threat. No, there's a threat for their life here. They're getting ready to have battle, so they think, with Sanballat, Tobiah, and all the enemies. Life is not a bed of roses. They're in a valley, if you will. There's danger ahead. There is a threat upon their very life. And at that moment, Nehemiah says, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, he says. There it is, look at it. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. You know what that word remember means? It means think upon him. He says this, there's potential danger. It could be coming. It probably is coming. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Just think about God. Now you say, what's this mean? One of the greatest ways to get rid of fear is to force yourself to meditate on God. I'm talking about meditate on who He is, His attributes, His faithfulness, His love. He is good. He's in control. He loves me. He cares about me. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere present. I mean, I'm talking about focusing on Him, remembering Him, thinking about Him. He has promised never to leave or forsake us. He's the great I Am. Here's what I've got written down. Giving in to our fears is a clear indicator that our eyes are focused somewhere else other than on the Lord. Do you understand that? When did Peter start sinking? When he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he put it on the wind boisterous. Was the wind blowing? Yes. Was the storm raging? Yes. But where his eyes were focused determined how he dealt with it. As long as his eyes were on the Lord, he was walking on water. But as soon as the Bible even says it, he saw the wind. How do you see the wind? When he saw the wind boisterous. Can I say this? You can't be looking at the wind and Jesus at the same time. You can't be looking at that and Him at the same time. You can only look in one direction. And what I'm saying to you is no matter what life throws at you, no matter what it is, whether it's trouble, whether it's wind boisterous, whether it's an unexpected storm, whatever it is, whether it's a giant in the valley, you name it, going back to these six stories, whether it's giants in the land and great walls, whatever life throws at you, the secret to victory is where you look. Where are you looking? What are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? For instance, you get bad news, what is the typical thing to do? Think about it. And you think about it so much that you can't sleep, you can't eat, it drives you nuts. You can't think about that and Him at the same time. It's impossible. You understand what I'm saying to you? Just like you can't look in two directions, you can't think in two directions, friends. Force yourself. If the worst news you've ever heard, you hear at that moment, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. You know, I'm always hesitant to preach this and preach on things like that because I know the devil's a rascal. And I know that he's going to try to hit people with things. Okay, you preach it. Let's see if you can live it. You know what I mean? Let me say this to you. If anything ever hits my life and it's terrible, if I ever stop on God, it'll be because I didn't do what I'm preaching tonight. If we choose to look at God, trust what He says, seek Him with all of our heart, God's going to help us with our fears. It's that simple. You say, so what are you telling me? I'm saying the answer to your fears is the Lord. Let me give you number four. While you're afraid, seek the Lord. Trust the Lord. Remember the Lord. Number four, look at Proverbs 1:33. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. The fourth outline lesson here is obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Now this is simple, but yet it's so profound. Look at Proverbs 1, verse 33. Now we know in context that this is talking about wisdom, okay? There's a lot spoken about wisdom in the book of Proverbs. But you and I also know that Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom. He is wisdom. You understand what I'm saying to you? So when it's talking about seek wisdom, wisdom crieth out. The Lord is wisdom. So you can apply this to the Lord is what I'm trying to say. Proverbs 1:33, what's it say? But whoso hearkeneth, obeyeth me, unto me, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's read it again. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, now the me here is wisdom. We know the Lord is the personification of wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now what does that mean? Friends, when you are afraid, one of the greatest things you can do is obey God. Just obey the Lord. What I mean by this, let us obey the Lord and not allow fear to cause us to stop obeying the Lord. One way to fight fear is to say, God, what do you want me to do next? One way to fight fear is don't quit on God, is what I'm trying to say. You know what a lot of people do when they get afraid? They stop. That's what Sanballat and Tobiah was trying to do to Nehemiah and the Israelites as they were rebuilding the walls. They were trying to get them to put down their hammers, put down their tools, because it was the work of God. They couldn't stand it. They didn't want anything to do with it. And they were going to do everything they could to stop the work of God. So they tried to get them afraid. What I'm saying to you is this. You ever been afraid? Have you ever been afraid, friends? Amen or not? While you're afraid, just do right. While you're afraid, just keep going God's way. While you're afraid, just keep obeying the Lord. What has God told you to do? Then while you're afraid, do it even if you're scared to death to. Just do right. Obey the Lord. This is what Nehemiah challenged us to do here. This is what staying away from Gath means. When David left the Israelite land and fled to Gath, remember, and his spittle fell down on his beard because he was making himself act like he was a madman because he thought they was going to kill him. He's acting like a maniac. I mean, he's crazy. He's not, but he's acting like he's crazy. And the reason he's doing all of that is because he's fearing his life, but the reason he's fearing his life because he's out of the will of God for his life. He moved to Gath. It was never God's will for David to go to Gath. That's the Philistines' land. Why did he go? Because the Bible says he was afraid of Saul. Yet God proved to him that he could have him in the same cave and take care of him. You see what I'm saying? Fear, it doesn't really make sense. It's not logical for a child of God. Yet we deal with it. I know that. I deal with it. You deal with it. But when you think about it, push comes to shove, it's illogical. Because we are in Christ. We are in God. The Bible says we're in Christ, hid in Christ with God. We are in the hand of God. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's all powerful. He spoke the worlds into existence. He's the God of the universe, and He's my daddy. He's my father. I'm His and He is mine. Why should I fear? Why should I fear? This is the point here. Why stop obeying God when you're simply afraid? You're afraid. Obey the Lord. Then finally tonight, number five, fear the Lord. You know what alleviates the fear of other things? The fear of God. One preacher put it this way, if you don't have the fear of God, then everything else is to be feared. When we fear the Lord, all other fears are minimized. Now listen to these verses. See if you see what God is saying. 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He's done for you. Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Luke 12:5, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. There's only one who has that power, friends. See, what he's saying is this, don't fear man. The worst they can do is kill you. Now, nobody wants to be killed. I understand that. But God is saying, he's teaching us something here. He's saying, don't be afraid of somebody who's limited just like you are. Be afraid of the one who has no limits. Stand in fear of the one who gave you life. Stand in fear of the one that after he kills the body, he can cast into hell. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Proverbs 14:26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. How much we fear other things or how much we fear other people is a spiritual gauge of how much we fear God. Now that's a convicting statement. Your fear level is ultimately a referendum on your closeness of your friendship with God. Just as fear is an attack on God, our God is the only answer for fear. What we do with Him determines who wins the battle with our fears. Let us determine to see fear as sin against God and turn our fears over to Him by seeking Him, by trusting Him, by remembering Him, by obeying Him, and by fearing Him. Psalm 3:1-8 says this, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Romans 8:15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. One preacher said it this way, it's to understand talking about just who God is, His love for us, His care for us. It's to understand down to the depth of our being that God loves us so much He will always fold us in His arms, that He will always be near even when it's dark, that He is our daddy, and that we need not be afraid. Now, I want to conclude this message in a different way. Yes, we know that fear is an attack on God, and we know that the Lord is the answer to fear. But I want to end this message a different way. While this message has been centered on exposing the wrong kind of fear, the Lord prompted me never to forget the good kind of fear. Yes, it is the fear of God, but above that, listen to these verses. Hebrews 10, 26 to 31. Listen to this. For if we willfully sin after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't say that you've received the truth. It says you've received the knowledge of it. See, people try to make this look like you can lose your salvation. That's hogwash, friends. It never says that you receive truth. It says you receive the knowledge of the truth. In other words, you heard the truth. You know what it is. You know what you ought to do, but you didn't receive it. You heard it. Listen to this. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Listen to this. This is the word of God speaking. But a certain fearful looking of judgment, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that he has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Listen to this. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing on a Wednesday night. It is a fearful thing to receive the knowledge of the truth that Jesus Christ is the one and only sacrifice for sin. It is a fearful thing to hear the knowledge of the truth and leave saying no to Jesus. Because when you do that, the Word of God says you are trotting under your foot the Son of God. You're counting Him as nothing but stuff that you step on. And He says, listen, vengeance is mine. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So while we shouldn't fear other people, we shouldn't fear other things, we ought to have a holy reverence and a holy fear for God Himself. It's too much respect to do our own thing and go our own ways. And if somebody's here, I hope there isn't anybody in this crowd that's lost. But if there's one here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I remind you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't take your chances, because it's a guaranteed fact who's going to come out on top. The stronghold of fear. Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you'll give us victory over this. Help us to understand that our fears are real, and there's something that we need to confess. Help us, Lord, to see these fears as an attack on you, and help us to realize that the only answer is you. Help us to seek you, trust you, remember you, obey you, and fear you with all of our heart. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Appreciate them playing tonight. Is there one here tonight that you are standing in danger of falling into the hands of the living God? I'm asking, have you trusted Christ? Are you a born-again child of God? I'm not asking, are you a church member? I'm not asking, are you teaching a class? Are you riding a bus? I'm not asking, are you a good person? I'm not asking, are you a good husband, good wife? I'm not asking any of those things. I'm asking tonight, if if you died just like you are you 100% sure that you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Christ? If you haven't, please don't be a fool. Don't fall into the hands of the living God. Is there one tonight, say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. But I know one thing. I don't want to put my head on my pillow tonight not knowing that for sure. I do not want to fall into the hands of the living God. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm going to be honest. Fear is one of my strongholds. I know I've already asked this before, but I'm asking it again. Have you say fear, just being afraid? There's all kinds of fears. You can be afraid of sickness. You can be afraid of losing your job. You can be afraid of something happening to your family. You can be afraid of, afraid of the dark. I mean, just you name it, afraid of heights. Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me because I know this is one of my strongholds. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, this is one of my strongholds. God bless you. That's a lot of it. And tonight I want to reiterate what I've preached. You're going to battle this. You may battle it the rest of your life. It doesn't mean you have to lose the battle. You can live in victory. But you cannot live in victory if you don't turn your battle over to the Lord. This is an attack on Him. See it that way. Let Him fight the battle like David did. He said, the battle's the Lord's. And you do that by seeking Him, by trusting Him, by remembering Him, just thinking about Him, by obeying Him, not quitting on Him, and by fearing Him, not fearing somebody else. But God is speaking to you. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing a verse. If nobody responds, we'll be through. If you'd like to come to the altar tonight, invite you to come. Maybe you want to start your seeking the Lord here at the altar. Why don't you do it now as He sings? Come on, would you do it, friends? Come now, please.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled?
It's time for you.
No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life.
Take the thought and use it. Help us to live in victory over our fear. Keep your hand upon this church and help us to be all that you've saved us and called us to be. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. You're dismissed. I need to see Brother Miss Moore just a moment. Brother Charlie and Laura Moore, if you'll come up here just a moment. I need to see you.